CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. The Commonwealth. The Commonwealth associated with the British Crown. Charles III is now the crown head of countries in the Commonwealth, if they so choose. This is a vast organization. You go to the website and you'll learn some amazing statistics. 56 member countries, 2.5 billion people, which is one third of everything that we call Homo sapiens, over 80 organizations, and the center of the storm these last years about what is it good for. Recently, I learned from reporting, the now Prince of Wales and his wife traveled through parts of the Caribbean and were met with protesters or irony about why are we paying for this? You are the product of, and then the condemnation of British society for the abuses of the 18th and 19th century, chief to do with slavery, but also to do with high-handedness, gunboat diplomacy, all kinds of bad acting that we associate with colonial empires. All of this now is in question because some parts of the Commonwealth are ready to leave right away. One of them might be the center of controversy these last months and years, and the Solomon Islands. We know it as Guadalcanal, but it's really a collection of islands north of Australia that is now in play between the People's Republic of China, the United States, Australia, and other members of the Commonwealth. We welcome Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to help us first with the question of the Solomon Islands and the Commonwealth. Cleo, a very good day to you. Mr. Sogavare, the Prime Minister, does it suit his purposes to be part of these protesting voices about what is it good for when it comes to this, the Commonwealth? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So Prime Minister Sogavare and I, as a Canadian, have the same head of state, which is the King of England. But not all Commonwealth countries do. So they're kind of 56 Commonwealth countries with that are members of this vast organization, as you mentioned. Within that, there are 15 countries that are part of the Commonwealth realm. And those are countries that have as their head of state the monarch of Great Britain, of, you know, England, Ireland, all that stuff, and us. So you can say we don't want you to be our head of state, but we still want to be part of the Commonwealth, which is what India did, of course, when it joined the Commonwealth originally. The problem is that there's been an enormous amount of conflation, as you mentioned, between whether you have the monarch as your head of state, the history of colonialism, the Commonwealth, white privilege, all of those sorts of things, I think, have probably been deliberately clumped together in order to try to create divisions between countries that have very similar political systems in terms of parliamentary, constitutional parliamentary democracies, similar legal systems, most speak English. So it serves the purposes of certain countries to try to say, if you're a member of the Commonwealth, you're subjecting yourself to a racist institution that has all of this colonial baggage. Now, it's true, there, of course, is all of this colonial baggage. But the institution itself can be run in a different way by the members themselves. The monarch of England does not have to be the head of the Commonwealth, and the Secretary General doesn't have to be from England either, the UK either. And you can see it in a parallel organization called La Francophonie, which regroups a similar number of French-speaking nations. And of course, there's no monarch in France. And it's very much kind of a political organization that can allow for a lot of back-channel diplomacy. So I think that there's some political warfare attacks designed to conflate all of these different issues in order to undermine an organization that regroups like-minded countries, and it doesn't have to be under as a subject of the British monarch as a head of state.
All very wonderfully presented. Thank you. I learned from you, Cleo, but we come to the Solomon Islands. That's the question. Does Sogavare want out?
Yeah, well, Sogavare wants power. So anything that reduces his power is not good. And the Chinese, of course, don't want any external oversight or justification for oversight. The Chinese backers of these authoritarian leaders want to create tiny satellite nodes that only refer to them for decision-making, guidance, and are fundamentally isolated. They would like to see, you know, every country in the world sanctioned by the West and isolated, and so they have to turn to China for support and guidance. So Sogavare being kind of a, he thinks he's clever, but fundamentally being now a puppet of China, he has no option really but to try to create as much division with the West as possible if he's going to keep being a favored pet.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, just a fundamental question. What does the Commonwealth do?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It has a lot of organizations, you know, educational organizations, training. It has a big headquarters in the UK. It's a kind of a convening thing. So if you can think of it as sort of like a mini-scaled UN for countries that have these similar systems. And not all are former British colonies. I think of the 56 countries, maybe 52 were former British colonies. And under colonies, you include countries like Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. And others have joined just because they've adopted similar legal systems and things. So there's, you know, the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association or the Legal Association. And it's a way for some of these smaller countries, for example, in the Caribbean, to talk to colleagues in the Pacific Islands that may have similar issues around governmental structures, but also cultural and educational issues as well.
Cleo, we turn to a transition from talking about the Commonwealth, whose fate is unknown at this point, to the United States of America, and you tell Gordon myself that this is the beginning of a two-day Pacific Island summit hosted by the President of the United States. This seems particularly apt given the doubts raised in all of Oceania these last months. Is the White House getting its boots on in order to contest with the People's Republic of China about its presumptions?
So we'll have to see what the outcomes are. There has been an enormous amount of Pacific Island related activity over the last week, including presentations by National Security Council Indo-Pacific Coordinator Kurt Campbell and Secretary Blinken, who convened a meeting of the Partners for the Blue Pacific. And now we have this kind of unprecedented two-day meeting with not all the Pacific Island leaders, some of the Pacific Island leaders. And so we'll see what the outcomes are. Certainly better than not meeting. There are ways that I think it could have been more efficient, but, you know, what do I know? So we'll see when the outcomes are presented. There's a draft document that they're working on that has been very contentious and which gave the excuse to our old friend, Prime Minister Sogavare, to pull out. I think he's not attending the meetings. Who's attending is extremely difficult to get a list of. And what it was over was the Pacific Islands who were attending wanted to put in something about the residual effects of U.S. nuclear testing in the Pacific. And Sogavare used that as an excuse to, you know, flounce out of the room. The country that was actually primarily affected by this, among many others, Marshall Islands, hasn't done that. But it's this way of using these key nodes to create fractures and divisions that China and its proxies are particularly good at. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, with Sogavare not attending President Biden's Pacific Islands summit, does the Solomons actually lose influence and lose the ability to create trouble?
Only if we let Sogavare be the Solomon Islands. So there was an incredibly important by-election in the Solomons last week where Sogavare ran a very well-funded candidate against somebody from Malaita province aligned with Peter Kenilorea. And the less well-funded person who is very concerned about Chinese influence won that by-election. So while these talks are going on in D.C., the actual ground fight of trying to keep the Solomons independent, especially of Chinese influence, is going on and is being fought by the voters of the Solomon Islands. So if they are supported and given the space to do what they want to do, then the Solomon Islands is far from lost. The corruption of Solomon Islands is highly contained to a very small group of people. If they're investigated, if their money flows are looked at, if the people of the Solomons are given the support that they need, the Solomons can be emancipated from the road that it's heading down, which is essentially Chinese servitude.
Cleo, are you encouraged by the White House holding this summit?
I am. It's a start. What you don't want to see is bad pathways put in place, because then you have to undo the bad pathways in order to build the good pathways. But you have to be optimistic. Even the Pacific Island meters sitting in a room together without any Americans is helpful, so that they can talk to each other about their concerns and put together some pathways towards creating their own version of security and stability, which they're doing. Palau set up a national security coordinator position. Other countries may be looking at it as well. So just getting together and talking will be helpful. The question is whether it will achieve the goals that the U.S. wants it to achieve, and whether those goals are actually the sort of goals that will deliver to the Pacific Islands the sort of security that they need.
Cleo Pascal, a citizen of the Commonwealth, also a fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.